XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three. We're 20 minutes in, so about 40 minutes to fill out this busy Monday, recapping the weekend. Brad Cox is joining us, and as Brad steps in, I just want to touch on Terry Meeks's thoughts. And Terry says that, you know, this is, you know, it's gotten more fluid, the situation. I think they had felt things had kind of settled in since mid-March. They've, you know, been working, and they're going to continue to work toward, you know, keeping everybody safe and protected. And the various tracks are this is a kind of a difficult coordination, you know, with each track handling, you know, and each state handling, you know, certain protocol directives when it comes to, you know, people coming in. So they're trying to adjust to everything, and at the same time, you know, keep everybody, you know, keeping everybody tested and trying to limit exposures. You know, it does seem that, you know, the four jocks, you know, the high-profile names that are involved here, Luis Saez and Martin Garcia, Victor Espinoza, and Flavian Pratt. The cross reference here was July 4th at Los Al. So Brad Cox joins us, and Brad, of course, needs riders to come and hook up with the various horses that he's sending out in big spots. And in fact, you can address this, Brad, from this week's experience. Florent Giroux was at Indiana Grand on Wednesday for the sweep of Shared Sense in the Derby, and She Dares the Devil in the Oaks, and then, of course, had to come to New York for the Ruffian. Good morning. Congratulations.
Good morning, and thanks, Steve. How you doing?
Excellent. And, do you get a sense, to some degree, that we got a little complacent here over the last few weeks, or is this just an incident that may have cropped up given, you know, whatever went on, and however everybody that is getting sick out of that Los Al jocks room day, what's your thoughts on how this is kind of moving?
I don't know. We had Martin Garcia. He won the we won a race with him on Sunday at Prairie Meadows. Obviously, I believe the day before he was at Los Al. So I don't know if anyone knows what's going on with it really, or what's causing it. You know, just think. Yeah, I think the racetracks are doing the best they can. It, you know, just like yesterday at Keeneland, I think they kept the California jocks on one end of the, you know, had a designated area for them along with the Kentucky jocks, and then the New York jocks kind of had their section. So I think the racetracks are doing the best they can, keeping people separated. But, you know, and obviously we still don't have any fans here in Kentucky at the races, or at Keeneland anyway. We just limited to just the owners. But, I don't have an answer. I don't know if anyone does, but I think they're doing the best they can with the hand they're dealt.
Do you sense when talking to agents, and of course this case Doug Bradar, but when talking to agents, and particularly about the stakes horses and the stakes horses going out of town, I mean, how much concern is there, and how much reticence? And you know, I'm sure if somebody begged off going out of town, you would be understanding, and it wouldn't necessarily jeopardize the mount. I mean, give everybody a trainer's perspective on that part of the topic.
Yeah, I think it's ultimately going to come down to what the racetracks and the jocks in house feel comfortable. Like, you know, if New York jocks were trying to get to Ellis Park, which that probably isn't going to happen, the jocks may not be comfortable with that, or or, you know, I think it's going to come down to these racetracks and the jocks that ride each individual track, how they're going to, their comfort level with other having, you know, out-of-town jocks come in. And I think you're going to see probably, I don't know, I think it's probably going to get to where, you know, jocks going to have to kind of pick a track and stick to it, be tested, and, kind of ride just the one track or the one circuit for the time being. That's kind of what I'm seeing or thinking may happen or hearing what may happen. But, you know, ultimately that'll be up to each individual racetrack and each jock colony as to what they want to get done and, you know, how comfortable they feel moving forward.
Well, and then similarly, before we start talking about the success and the various performances, how have things kind of affected your decision making and your placement of horses and staff? I mean, in terms of how many, in New York, for instance, how many are shipping up? We hear a lot of outfits are, in fact, have turned back some stalls in New York, and they're going to kind of rotate, kind of have a skeleton staff at Saratoga and keep the majority of their horses at Belmont, and maybe, keep 10 stalls or so, and then, several dozen will stay back, back down at Belmont. How are you approaching this kind of thing?
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. I mean, just because of a lot of our staff are willing to stay on at Belmont, not willing to ship up north to Saratoga, and look, you can't just take horses. I mean, and not the help. I mean, you got to have the help to keep everything ticking over. So, it's going to be a little different this year. But honestly, I think it's probably going to be for the better. It's going to work out better for us. I don't think it's going to slow anything down. I think horses that we're pointing for Saratoga, we've had horses that come right out of Churchill or the Midwest that ship up to Saratoga as soon as they hit the overnight. They may go up, once they hit the overnight 3 or 4 days out, we have the van sitting there waiting, and if they get in, they go. So, I don't think it's really going to affect our participation at all at Saratoga. Obviously, it will affect I think it's not really going to – it would probably be more of like for the owners, lots of times being there, owners coming out, seeing horses trained. A lot of owners I know that – talking to Jerry Crawford this morning here at Keelan. He was here in Donegal, and, he said that, he didn't even have a place up there this year and didn't really intend on going unless, the uncertainty of owners not being allowed at the race. So, I just think it's going to be just a scaled back, a little bit laid back a season, to say the least. And, we are just going to ship in as we get in, I guess you would say.
All right. Well, we got the opening two cards are set, and we'll talk about what your Saratoga plans are, including with a couple of the winners. Let's dive into the week's results, Brad. And I told everybody after Wednesday evening at Indiana Grand, Thursday I said, well, I'm going to save a Brad Cox conversation because Monomoy Girl, looked like an 800-pound gorilla in the Ruffian, and that's the way it turned out. Let's go back to Wednesday, though, and talk about the sweep of the Derby and the Oaks in Indiana.
Well, it was obviously a good evening. It was a fun night at the races. I actually had a crowd at Indiana. It was a nice crowd, people at the race. Honestly, it's the first time I felt like I've been to the races since February, to be honest.
Yep.
Because there were people there, and the closest night of normal racing I've been to, like I said, in a long while. But it was great. I was glad the filly showed up and ran the way she did. She dares the devil. She was odds on, and she ran that way. She kind of got lost a little late down the lane. Watson, she kind of started looking some things, and I tapped her a couple times with the whip, and she responded well. So, she did what we expected her to do. She trains really, really well, and was excited about, the race. We've been pointing for it for a while since they put it on the calendar. And it worked out, and onto the Oaks. Not sure if we'll run her between now and then. Kind of thinking we may just freshen her up and take her straight to the Kentucky Oaks off of that. But we'll just kind of see how things. She came out of the race in great shape, so real happy with the way she looked out of that race.
I think I saved the chart. I mean, this filly has really kind of. you know, been as emergent. There it is, emergent as anybody. And you know, I'm thinking back to when we talked about Oaklawn, and you know the way she was able to you know, annex the honeybee and step forward. You know, the fantasy didn't. She kind of got, you know, into some issues traffic-wise and never really got a chance to run, but still mm-hmm. managed to hit the board. And then you tuned her up for this spot at Churchill. And, I mean, she's really done very little wrong here since midwinter.
Yeah, she's, you know, showed up every time and, you know, responded well. And like you said, she ran a good race in the fantasy, was behind two really nice fillies, maybe had a little bit of traffic trouble in the far turn and down the lane, but nothing. It wasn't a difference. It didn't affect her placing. Maybe she would have been a little closer that day. But no, she's done very little wrong. She's a fantastic horse to train as far as what, you know, you get what you want in the mornings with her. You can go into a race with a lot of confidence. She's very forward training and a fantastic workhorse. Like I said, you know, she gave you a lot of confidence after watching her train, I'll tell you that.
And she zipped, what, 59-4? Yeah, Bullet coming in to the race a week out. And, you know, it's so funny, Brad. If you want to jumpstart a stallion's career, just export them. They're nothing.
No doubt about it.
It's the craziest phenomena there is. And here's Daredevil. No sooner does he, you know, leave the country that he's getting a stake winner every weekend.
Yeah, Swiss got over in this story as well.
Yeah, crazy. Just too funny. She Dares the Devil. And, you know, she was not, I mean, she was bought for real money, actually, as a yearling. I mean, she was $280,000 for a first crop stallion.
Yeah. Oh, no, $280,000 in November of her two-year-old year.
Oh, that's right. She went through
the... Yeah, that's where we picked her
up. Yeah. That's right. That's Simon had her. That's right.
Right. So, no, she's definitely paid dividends. She's a nice filly. It's got some residual now, and hopefully we can add a grade one or grade two at some point. And I think it'll happen at some point, you know, this year or next year. She's, you know, quality, very sound filly, and big, pretty filly, and like I said, pleasure to train.
Let's get to the Derby win, and Shared Sense, just terrific in here. And it really, watching the race, he just looked like a winner every step.
Yeah, he, you know, this horse, he's honest. You know, that's the one thing we talk about every week. I talk to Jimmy, you know, weekly about him and all of them, but Jimmy Bell, that is, with Godolphin. And, you know, he's a very, very honest horse, really like this horse. He's not a big horse. He's a good-looking horse, but there's no wow factor with him. Same thing as the mornings. He's kind of a laid-back horse, kind of gets in his rhythm. Always thought he'd be a horse that'd go long. He started him sprinting. He was a horse that was put up via a medication DQ last November, and that's why you see we went from a maiden to a stake race with him.
Right.
And then, you know, he was able to pick off the first-level allowance, I think, there in February or March, and he's at Oaklawn, and he's a nice horse. I mean, we've always said from the get-go, you know, distance would never be a problem. I mean, he's going to stay on, and, you know, he ran a really good race there before the Indiana Derby at Churchill against Art Collector. Had no setup that day either. Short field was dead last of Oaklawn. I said, listen, I don't care what happens. I said, just grab, you know, let him fall out of there, let him find his stride, take a nice hold of him, come with one run. And he did a great job on him. And then he rode a fantastic ride on him the other night in the Indiana Derby. He was able to shoot up from the inside, going down the backside, recognized that he had an opportunity to, you know, improve his placement. He did, and then tipped him out. And, you know, he ran really big. And, you know, that was a big effort. I mean, you're talking about a horse that only won one race. He's finished in front by a nose in one race in his career. You know, he'd only crossed the wire once, and for him to kind of kick away from that group of horses just told me that he's improving at the right time and doing everything the right way. He's a very intelligent horse, and he's another one that he came out of it in good order as well.
Well, when you won on Wednesday, Tom Drury was just on with us, Brad, and when he won, I think anybody, you know, that swings from vine to vine, you know, looking at overlapping company, he basically, I mean, gave Art Collector a gigantic look. I mean, after Art Collector had run away from him in that allowance race at Churchill.
Yeah, for sure, and likewise. I mean, watching his horse win here at Keeneland on Saturday, I was obviously here at Keeneland. I mean, the first thing I thought of was, I kind of thought the filly Skydiver was going to maybe had a shot to put him away for a second. She didn't, and then when he got the best of her, I immediately thought to myself, well, that flatters shared sense as well.
Absolutely. There's no doubt. Well, what do you do from here with him? You know, Tommy just talked about, you know, potentially training up to Derby, and, you know, for shared sense, it feels like that extra week, or no, it's not even a week, it's whatever, 4 days. Does that put you in a position where, you know, you feel like you're going to make another start, not to mention the point situation, because he's probably going to need, you know, another lick, you know, placement in a good point race?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if we have Derby dreams, and we do, I mean, if you have the Derby dream, you always any time to go on a Derby and you have a three-year-old, you're dreaming a bit. But yeah, I mean, we would have to look at, I would say right now, the Ellis Park Derby or the Traverse would be an option as well. And the one thing with this horse, like I said earlier, you know, Mile and Eighth Beyond, I mean, it's, you know, he's not the fastest horse in the world, but he's going to get the distance. And if he was able to get a setup and get a trip, you know, he's going to be effective at a mile and a quarter. So, you know, a mile and a quarter a month before the Kentucky Derby, I mean, you know, hey, it's asking a lot, but, you know, you got to get in it as well. You got to get in the field, and right now he's on the outside looking in. So, you know, we'll talk it over. There's two races there, like I said, between Ellis Park and the Traverse that offer points. Talk it over with Jimmy Bell over the next week or so, and, you know, get a game plan and just kind of see how those races are coming up, what makes the most sense for our horse. But, you know, he's a very, very honest, hard-trying horse that, you know, just very fortunate to have in our barn.
Well, he certainly was bred to be a good horse. You know, Street Sense out of Collective, the Bernardini mare, and, boy, Bernardini's name coming up repeatedly today between what transpired for Tommy. And by the way, since you were at Keeneland, and we're going to start talking about your weekend at Keeneland as well, because you had starters over the 5 days, I did bring up you and Danny Gargan and Clocker John and all of you that grew up, you know, under the shadow of the Twin Spires. And pretty cool, you know, to see somebody like Tommy Drury win a race like the Bluegrass.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's a great horseman. His horses always look well, and he does a great job, for sure.
Well, and he was talking about you and you know, Danny and this whole generation. Let's turn our attention to the big horse. Let's talk about the performance of Monomoy Girl. And, you know, you've been saying that we would check in at certain points along the winter, and you said, you know, she's back, and she's galloping a little, and she's, you know, got the tack on her, and now we're going to start to get serious. And it really felt like this was, you know, the next turn of the screw, tightening her up for the, you know, couple of big assignments that are coming later this summer and then this fall.
Yeah, I mean, she showed up and she ran like she's training, and I think not all about the numbers, but, you know, I did see where she received a 104 buyer. You know, to be honest with you, I mean, I expected her to run as well as she's ever run. I thought it was a super impressive race given the fractions up front. She was able to lay that close and kick on at the end and have something left, and, you know, showed a lot in her gallop out as well. So, you know, very, very proud of her, and, you know, she's a champion, and hopefully, you know, we can, you know, take that next step. But she's, you know, very, very, very happy with the performance and how she came out of it. She's actually shipping back to Churchill today from Belmont, so, you know, very pleased with what she was able to accomplish this weekend, and, you know, she She ran the way she was training. That's all I'm going to say about it. She was ready to do it, and she did.
Well, that begs the question. Personal ensign, not necessarily the summer assignment, or it sounds, if she's coming back there, that maybe the spinster would be the prep for her for distaff.
Yeah, I think right now, I mean, you know, we've kind of had a little bit of an idea. I mean, that the La Troy Inn at Churchill would be make sense for a next start. Given it's a grade one, it's at Churchill, the distance all makes sense right now. And, Spinster would be a possibility as well. But I think in the next start, I think we're going to try to circle the La Troy Inn at Churchill Derby weekend and see if we can't make that our next start.
Keep forgetting that. Yeah, it's so funny to be thinking that's there. The concentration's on the Oaks and the Derby, and you don't even think about the supporting stakes. What does she need going in? I mean, do you expect that she might need or take the opportunity to run twice, or would you just evaluate after the La Troy Inn whether you would run her another time before the distaff?
Yeah, it would probably be race at a time, Steve. But I think if all went well and everything went exactly the way you drew it up, it would be nice to get two races in her before the Breeders' Cup. But once again, as a trainer, I think most trainers, it's kind of like you're looking at one race at a time, and we just want to see how the La Troy Inn goes. Try to get the best shape we can, and then reevaluate, see how stressful the race was on her, and if we felt like we needed 2 months between, or take advantage of the Spinster, obviously being there over the at Keeneland with the Breeders' Cup being there, would make sense. But we do know moving forward that we really don't have to ship it yet. Just a 60-mile drive from Churchill to Keeneland once or twice. So as of right now, it doesn't look like we're going to have to put it on a plane anytime soon.
Well, now she's 11 for 13 with two placements, and that figure, some people might shrug off, the 104. A mare like this is supposed to run that. Yeah, okay, but that's a career best, and it's only her second time posting a triple-digit fig, and it comes at a good time. Frankly, it really kind of signals that with all the time that she missed, that she's better now, than she was, as a 3-year-old. I mean, it's a valuable measurement tool.
Yeah, for sure. And I've said this to the ownership group. She is better now. She is better now. Watching her train, watching her breathe, she's better now than she was when she's a 3-year-old. Granted, there's obviously other horses in the division that have moved forward since their 3-year-old year as well. So, they're supposed to, if they're still in training, get better, and she obviously has.
Anything else about her with maturity? Anything else change? Her demeanor or the way she is in the morning or anything?
No, not really her demeanor. Yeah, her works. I mean, she works better now as a 5-year-old.
Interesting.
As she did. As a 3-year-old, I mean, I had a lot of confidence with her as a 3-year-old, but she's given me even more confidence this year, training her, just watching her works and her gallop outs and how she's presenting herself and how she's moving her the morning scalping. So, she's another one. I felt very confident she would run a big race the other day in the Ruffian and her first race off the layoff as well. So, she'll need to continue to prove to be the leader in that division, because it's a deep group in my mind, or in my eyes, and obviously one of the best horses in the world in that group, and we're going to have to step up even more to be competitive.
Some might say you did that on Saturday. Some might say you, in fact, may have bypassed that.
Yeah,
it's
a great debate. It's a great debate, and hopefully at some point we can settle it on the racetrack.
Without a doubt, that that would be ideal. And meanwhile, let me talk about a couple of performances that I won't even say, I'm not going to say that they, you know, quote unquote, fell short. You know, but certainly Juliet Foxtrot's effort in the Wiley, you know, was very solid. I mean, I thought she had, you know, the chance to kind of step forward the second off the layoff, and she ran fine. I'm sure you weren't disappointed with the third.
No, not at all. I thought it was a huge race, second off the layoff. That filly's drawn some really tough fillies. I feel like she's a grade one filly, and I feel like it's taken, you know, between Rushing Fawn and Uni, it's taken champions to beat her sometimes. I mean, I thought last year at Keeneland in the fall, she turned for home and looked like she had a shot, and here come Uni flying down the middle of the track. And obviously the other day, filly ranked great, Tyler gave her a great ride, and just wasn't quite able to get there. You know, Rushing Falls, she's an unbelievable champion, and, you know, she's going to be a tough one to get by. So, you know, I do feel like this mare does have a grade one, and she's multiple grade one placed. So, you know, at some point I do feel like she can knock one out. But I was very, very proud of her effort. I thought she really ran on strong down the lane on, you know, a turf course. The horse just wasn't really backing up much.
Is there, you know, is there a target? I mean, something?
No, she came out of it in good order. Don't really have anything circled for her right now. I'm going to talk it over with Garrett, with Judd Mond, Garrett O'Rourke, and just kind of see what makes sense. We'll give her plenty of time to recover from this one. You know, there's not a lot of options out there right now. You know, I don't necessarily feel like we have to be in a grade one next time out, but, you know, we'll talk it over and come up with a plan for her. She's made a trip out to the West Coast. She actually made two trips out to the West Coast last year. So that's definitely something we'll look at as well. But, you know, between New York between New York and California, and, you know, there'll be a race or two for it in the fall here at Churchill. And there's a race Derby Day as well. It's not a great one, but there's obviously the mile race at Churchill.
The Distaff.
It's always a good race. Beau Recall won it last year, so that's always
right.
An option as well.
Very nice. Bonnie South, talk about her. And you know, she took a bunch of money and somehow ended up being a lower price than the winner, which I thought was a little kooky. I mean, I picked her third myself behind the top pair. But were you surprised that she was down to 7-2?
Not really, given the way she physically looked. I mean, I know we didn't have a crowd to see her, but I thought she was probably the pick of the paddock just off the physical. She looked amazing. I just think we didn't get a setup. Johnny rode her well, and, you know, he just said, you know, she ran on. They just kind of got away from her. And I think she showed us in the Fairgrounds Oaks and the race before when she – She Dares the Devil. It's nice for her to have a nice, honest pace to run at. Thought the opening quarter in 24 just kind of didn't, you know, just not going to suit her. We're going to have a little bit more of a setup and, you know, maybe just come with a run. But I was proud of her. I mean, I thought she'd like to have been third in there. But she, you know, and another thing, too, she hadn't run in a while, you know, first race off the layoff. But she, you know, I think she got something out of that. We'll look at either the Oaks or the Alabama with her moving forward and make a decision a little bit later, but she did come out of the race in good shape, and I'll get her back to the track in a few days.
Nice, and she absolutely. I mean, she has a progressive look, you get the sense that she's a filly that, you know, that'll fit with the generation, you know, at some point, and that's the weird part about what's going on here in general. And you know, in fact, Seth Merrow yesterday with me on TV made a great point about all those track records, and everybody was like, "Oh, the track is so souped up." No, hold on. They don't run those races in July.
Right.
At Keeneland, it's a whole different. Talking about horses at a different. It's a stakes record. Well, yeah, the horses are 90 days older than they normally are going to be when they run in April.
Yeah. Right. And obviously, different time of year, tracks a little tighter, I think, too.
Yeah. So that was part of the whole storyline from the weekend. Let's I can't let Arklow go by. And what were your thoughts yesterday on the end of the meet and Arklow? You were high on him. I heard all kinds of glowing thoughts from you leading in.
Yeah, he just didn't get a good setup at all. Mark, I'm actually like, he didn't like the trip. I didn't like the trip. Arklow didn't like the trip. So it didn't work out. We sat right outside the winner the whole way, and obviously Zulu's definitely a little more push button. But you can't really give Arklow that much work to do. Anytime he's had success and been able to get to the wire first, he's always been very close at the quarter pole. He just stays on, and just left him way too much to do yesterday. And I thought he was going to be one horse at the 316th pole, and then he ended up passing something and ended up six. But just one you kind of got to draw a line through. He looked like he came out of it in good order, so we'll see what there is in the near future and see how things shake out with him. But he did come out of it in good shape.
The Transylvania. Caninos, what happened there? I didn't really notice him until afterward.
Yeah, lightly raced horse, just trying to find some things to some races, want to get some experience. Needs to run, needs three turns, probably mile and a half horse. He did run on, I think, he finished the last quarter in 23, but he just takes himself out of it. He didn't have any early speed, and did come run. It wasn't a bad race at all. Like I said, beat 2 1/4 lengths, I think, for everything, and was running at the end, but he's definitely going to need more ground. So I think, he's a horse that should get better with age as well.
Let's look ahead to the week, and we'll talk about Indiana just in a second. But Saratoga, you're going to run a pair at opening day, Steam Engine in the fifth, and then Dahl in the nightcap, and then on Friday, the De La Rose, Chad's got four. You've got Clara Peters.
Yeah, she's doing well. She was able to get the job done in a 2/7/8 last time at Belmont. Ran a big race. So I'm hoping she'll take to the two turns at Saratoga. We're pointing for 3/3 the day before. Actually, for opening day, it didn't go and didn't come back. So we kind of forced our hand to run into De La Rose. It's come up a good race, but we'll kind of see what we have on Friday with her.
I love those. The De La Rose and I think the Waya and there's a couple of others that the De La Rose was the first that they created, which was these non-winners of a sweepstakes. It's the great.
Yeah, the cool races. I always like them too.
Right?
They used to have the Lure. I don't know if they still have the Lure.
Yes,
or not.
Yes.
And the Shine again as well for fillies and mares. They're kind of like conditioned stakes, but now they are. And the De La Rose, in the last couple of years, it seems like I had Sassy Little Lila that was eligible for it 1 year, and I ended up running in the 4-star Dave. I'm gonna blame the owners on that one, but I'm running there. But she would have made sense in the De La Rose. But yeah, it's always like those are cool races for those horses that not quite ready for the graded stake level. And it just kind of gives you an opportunity to keep the progression going.
Jim Cassidy has got the greatest term for that. He one day I asked him about a performance, and he said, that was an OD. I said, an OD? He said, yes, an owner's decision.
No, that's a good one. But no, those are neat races. I think the Lures may be a conditioned race that they normally run around the Traverse Day, and then obviously the Shine again. So, they're neat races.
Well, you brings us to the season that we were really enjoying following both Indiana and Canterbury. And talk about the two maidens over the next couple of days. Later today in the sixth, Hard Night with Fernando de la Cruz. And then tomorrow, King of the Rainbow, also with Fernando. In fact, Fernando's riding all four of your horses the next couple of days.
Yeah, Hard Night, we had this horse as a 2-year-old. He had a little setback. He's come back. in good shape. His heart's spun out. I think a Green Dancer mare. Should like the grass. He's never been on it for us, but he's been training well enough, and I think he'll be effective. May need a race going a mile first time, but has moved forward over the last few months. And hopefully, we can get the job done with him today. And then the Indiana Sired horse tomorrow. He looks like he'll fit. Being a sired, those are not the strongest races in the world, and this horse has shown us some run of the morning. So hopefully, he can get there tomorrow.
Well, and there's also an allowance runner. When did you get your hands on Nasty?
She's been with us a while. She really ran well last time on the grass. So, I don't know if it was the grass or the two turns. I think the combination. I'm not sure she wouldn't run on the dirt, but she did run extremely well on the grass yesterday. That's a good race today up there at Indiana. Fernando rode her last time, got along with her great, so hopefully she can get back to the winner's circle today.
Didn't Ian Wilkes had her for a period, right?
No, we've had her. We've had her the whole time. We picked her up last fall.
And did Ian train her before that?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Who am I thinking of?
I'm not sure.
Well, Ian's going to be on tomorrow, so we'll ask Ian tomorrow who I'm. Wow, maybe it's you that I talk to. Who can keep track of these horses? And finally, Brad, where are you with your 2-year-olds for the summer? Particularly Saratoga, and yeah. I'm sure there'll be some at Ellis as well.
Yeah, we've raised a bunch of Keeneland this morning. A lot of them are coming along. I think we do have ones that run earlier, but I think we'll have a big fall with a lot of our 2-year-olds debuting. Maybe at Ellis, Churchill, Saratoga. I think Churchill was in September meet. But, yeah,
right.
we make some progress with a lot of them. Swill was one that performed extremely well the other day. I think he was beaten a little ways, but was well clear third. I think he's a very, very nice colt. You're going to see the bet hit him progress as the distances get longer. So excited about him, the money's colt. And we've got some that are getting ready, hopefully, and should be ready to run in the next month or so.
Well, we'll be watching for those. And one horse I did not talk to you about at the time, coming out of Churchill, was Factor This. And when do we?
We have not made a decision, but we may be pointing him for Ellis Park for the mile and a quarter Kentucky Cup. Calumet race at church. It's the prep for the Calumet Turf Cup at Kentucky Downs. We're going to use that as a prep for the Kentucky Derby. I'm not exactly what they're calling it, the Turf Classic at Church. I know they change the sponsor on it every year or so, but it's the race for the Kentucky Derby.
Old Forster.
There you go. We're going to use this as a prep for that race. At Churchill and take a shot. We're going to give him his grade one shot, hopefully Derby Day if all goes well. But he did come out of the Wise Dan in good shape. And right now we're looking at Ellis Park. I think it's August 2nd.
Night Ops and Dot Matrix?
Night Ops. We'll probably give him a little bit of a break after that race. Out of the Cornhusker and Dot Matrix. We may look at some New York bred stuff or anything. If it's not a New York bred race, we'll look at some marathon races, possibly like the Bowling Green or something. I thought he ran a good race. He didn't finish well in the Manhattan, but it was a good effort.
Brad Cox, everybody, and Brad, I appreciate the 25 minutes that you just gave us because there was just a lot to catch up on. We basically put two visits into one, and congratulations on Monomoy, the Indiana sweep, and looking forward to seeing you here at Saratoga as the summer progresses. Continued success.
Thanks, Steve. To talk to you soon. Thank you very much.
Stay healthy. Brad Cox, everybody. And you can follow Brad Cox Racing on Twitter. And, boy, this was a pretty ferocious morning. Brad Cox, Tommy Drury, Joe Bianca, Mark Cassie, and... Casey. Whitey. Michael McCarthy. Got a little bit more of the jockey stuff to discuss. We'll save it for tomorrow. And essentially, the racetracks are seemingly going to work toward better coordination between them and more testing. So we'll keep following that story, and we'll march toward opening day at Saratoga on Thursday, but still more recapping to do tomorrow. Rusty Arnold, we didn't even talk about Rusty. I warned everybody about Leinster and you know, the stablemate, Totally Boss, and then I only used Totally Boss. That was a very costly photo. We'll get Rusty tomorrow and much, much more. Thanks, everybody. Replay tomorrow, 6 to 9. Talk to you in the morning.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
Of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.